Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministry, along with our Life Support Outreach Church and our Prayer Room Ministry. And I'm so delighted today to be back on our radio broadcast for our study in the Word. I just give God all the praise and all the glory on tonight. I magnify His holy name tonight. I just glorify Him on tonight. We're going to get ready to, we're going to get ready for a short devotion here. Oh, Lord, what did I do? We're going to get ready for a short devotion. Our devotion, we're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer on tonight. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard me, my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Blessed is the man. No, and he have put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respect not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thou hast in thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto there, into thee. If I will declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering, thou didst not despair. My ears hast thou opened, burnt offering, sin offering hast thou not required. That then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness in thy salvation. I have not concealed the loving kindness and thy trust, thy truth. From the great congregation, I have just read you from Psalm 40, from the first verse down to the 10th verse. May God richly add blessings to the doers of his most holy word.
No, was I supposed to?
What happened?
You thought I was worth it. You can't change my life. You thought I was worth it. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life. So I can be free. So I can be whole.
Let me see how long it is.
You
clean
me up.
You clean me up inside.
I'm good. Now you go ahead, my baby, and just read. Read yours, okay? Yes, God. Hallelujah. Come humbly before your throne of grace on this evening, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, God, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, God, just confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come just giving you all the praise tonight. We come giving you glory, magnifying your name, God, lifting your name up on high, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, God, to study your word on tonight in unity, God, and together, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless your holy name on tonight. We magnify your name, God. We glorify your name, God. And now I'm asking you right now to open up our understanding, God. Open up our minds and our hearts tonight, that we may understand some of your word, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to let me decrease, that the Holy Spirit may increase and minister and teach us tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you tonight, in the name of Jesus, to move me from myself and let the Holy Spirit take over and take control. I ask you to send your anointing in the midst of this Bible study. In the name of Jesus, send your anointing. Let your power fall on this afternoon, in this evening, in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, I ask you to bind up the strong man on tonight. Bind him up tonight. Bind up the strong man on tonight. In the name of Jesus, bind him up. Hallelujah. And cast him out and command him to go. I bind up every witch and every wizard, every warlock, every psychic, every familiar spirit. I bind up every demon on assignment. I bind up every incubus, every succubus. I bind up every spirit spouse, every sex demon. I bind you up now in the name of Jesus. I bind up the spirit of affliction right now in the name of Jesus. I cast you out and I command you to go up in the name of Jesus. I bind you tonight from our lives. I bind you from this radio broadcast, from our Bible study. I bind you from our homes. I bind you up right now from our minds. In the name of Jesus, I bind you up right now, and I cast you out. I command you to go by every power and authority that God has given me. In the mighty name of Jesus, go now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you right now, and we give you praise. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. I mean, so let it be. We just give God all the praise on tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to start reading because I got a ways to go on tonight. Chapter 7, Numbers chapter 7. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the prince of Israel, his of the house of their fathers, who were the prince of the tribes and were over them, that were numbered of offered it, and they brought their offerings before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon of 2 of the princes and 4 each one an ox, and they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, crying, take it off them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites, 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service, and 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari, according to unto their service, unto the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath, he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. And the prince offered for, and the princes offered for their dedicating of the altar in the day that it was anointed, even the prince offered their offering before the altar. And the Lord said unto Moses, they shall offer their offering, each prince on his day, for dedicating of the altar. And he that offered his offering the first day was Nashon, the son of Amminadab of the tribe of Judah. And his offering was 1 silver charger. The weight thereof was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them were full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. 1 spoon of 10 shekels of gold full of incense. 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. 1 kid of goat for the sin offering, and 1 and for a sacrifice of peace offering, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, one of the second, and on the second day, Nathanael, whatever that is, the son of Zerah, prince of Issachar, offered for his offering. One silver charger, the weight thereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one spoon of gold of the 10 shekel full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year, four burnt offerings, one kid of goat for a sin offering and for a sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nathanael, the son of Zerah. On the third day, Elah, the son of Helon, the prince of children of Zebulun, did offer. His offering was one silver charger, the weight thereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour, meager with oil for a meat offering, one gold spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice, a peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Elah, the son of Helam. 14 day, Elizer, the son of Shadara, prince of the children of Reuben, did offer. His offering was one silver charger of weight of 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekels of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one gold spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Elizar, the son of Shadar. On the fifth day, the son of Zerashadai, prince of the children of Simeon, did offer his offering, was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekels of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, on one gold spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year, for a burnt offering, one kid of goats, for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Shelemiah, the son of Zerushaddai. On the sixth day, Eliphaz, the son of Dur, prince of the children of Gad, offered his offering was one silver charger of the weight of 130 shekels, a silver bowl, a silver shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them fell full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Eliphaz, the son of Dur. On the seventh day, Elishama, the son of Imahud, prince of the children of Ephraim, offered his offering was one silver charger, the weight that whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of the seventy shekels, after the shekels of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice, a peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Elishama, the son of Amahud, on the eighth day, offered Gamaliel, the son of Pedazerah, prince of the children of Manasseh. His offering was one silver charger of the weight of 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of goat for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur, on the ninth day. And on the ninth day, Abinadan, the son of Gideonai, prince of the children of Benjamin, offered. This offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a burnt offering, and one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of goats for a sin offering, one and for a sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Abinadan, the son of Gideon. On the tenth day, Ahaziah, the son of Amashadiah, the prince of the children of Dan, offered. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year of for a burnt offering, one kid of the goat for a sin offering, and one for a sacrifice of a peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Haziah, the son of Amashadai. On the 11th day, Pagiel, the son of Ochran, prince of the children of Asher, offered. His offering was one silver charger, the weight thereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of goat for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Pagiel, the son of Ochran. On the 12th day, Ahariah, the son of Enan, prince of the children of Naphtali, offered. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice, a peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Ahari, the son of Enan. This was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the prince of Israel. 12 torches of silver, 12 silver bowls, 12 spoons of gold, each charger of silver weighing and 130 shekels, each bowl 70. All the silver vessels weighed 2,400 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary, the golden spoons were 12, full of incense, weighing 10 shekels apiece. After the shekels of the sanctuary, all the gold of the spoons were 120 shekels. All the oxen for the burnt offering were 12 bullocks, the rams 12, the lambs of the first year 12, with their meat offering, and the kids of the goats for sin offerings 12, and all the oxen of the sacrifice of the peace offering were 20, and 4 bullocks, the rams 60, and the he goats 60, the lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication of the altar. After that, it was anointed. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of the one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of testimony from between the two cherubims, and he spake unto him. Amen.
Amen. Chapter 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, if thou lightest the lamp, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold, unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according unto the pattern the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlestick. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them, and thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying unto them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock, which his meat offering eat, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together, and thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord, and the Levites shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. And they are holy, given unto me, or holy, given unto me. From among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn mm-hmm. of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sacrificed them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation and to make an atonement for the children of Israel that there be no plague among the children of Israel. When the children of Israel mm-hmm. come nigh unto the sanctuary, and Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according unto all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, and Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is it that belongeth unto the Levites, from 25 years old and upward, that shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall be waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the torch, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites touching their choice. Amen.
Amen. We're going to get right on into our little. We just got a few questions about five. In chapter 7, it says, when the time came to anoint the tabernacle, how many leaders brought offerings to the priest? We all know that. How many?
12.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For what were the oxen and the cart to be used for?
They were to be used in the work at the tabernacle of at the tent of meetings to give to the Levites.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah.
Is that
in verse 7 and 8. In verse
what,
7
what,
and
what
8.
What verse is that you said?
7 and 8. In chapter 7, is verse 7 and 8. See, they call it court. See, they said, for what were the oxen and the cart to be used for? But here in verse 7, it said, two wagons and four oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service. And said, four wagons and eight oxen he gave unto the sons of Meriah according to their service under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But I don't know if it's cart or wagon. You see.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like
really
the same thing.
Okay. But anyway, that's what I got. They was calling them. They asked courts in the courts and his wagons in the answer on the verse 7. I mean, in verse 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why did the sons of, you got an answer, Lord? Prophet Salah?
For what?
I don't know. What you
number
saying?
Three? Oh, no, ma'am.
Oh, I thought I heard you saying something. Why did the sons of Kohath not need a court to use? Why didn't he use a court? Why didn't he not need to use a court?
Mm-hmm. Because they were to carry them on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Because
verse
9.
Carried it on their shoulders. Because the ark. Huh? What you say?
They must have been strong.
Well, they probably was, but the thing is, the ark of the covenant had rings on the side, and they had poles, and they stick through these rings to keep them from being too close to the ark. And they had to, when they walked, they put them poles up on their shoulder, and they walk with it like that, because if you get too close to the ark, you're going to die, because you're too close to the Lord. You be too close to the Lord, you're going to die. So they had them long poles to keep them back enough so they can carry it on their shoulders and not die, get too close to it. Mm-hmm. Now I read 87 verses and we ain't got but 3 questions. Right. 87 verses and got 3 questions. Lord, have mercy. Okay, chapter 8. What did the rest of the Levites come? What did the rest of the Levites become of God? What did the rest of the Levites become of God?
Verse 18 says, "And I have taken the Levites in place of all the firstborn sons in Israel."
Mhm. Yeah. I believe it's between 16 and 18, that whole 2 or 3 verses right there. "For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel instead of such as an open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all children of Israel have I taken them unto me. For all of the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast, on the day that I smote every firstborn of the land of Egypt. I sanctify them for myself, and I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel." So he taking all the priests and leaving all the firstborn.
But did he kill all the firstborn?
Of Egypt. Not from the Israelites. Did no firstborn of the Israelites get killed? It was just in Egypt. So now he was saying that they belong, all of them belong to him, but he's not going to take them. He's going to trade them for the priests, for the Levites. Mm-hmm. He's trading them for the Levites.
He trading them.
Ain't
he? He's trading the Israelites for the Levites.
Yeah, the firstborn of Israelites. Uh-huh.
Okay.
For the Levites. But then, what was the age range for the service of the Levites? What was the age range?
25 to 50.
Let me see.
I got 25. I got
25
or more.
See it.
They started 25 and ceased at 50.
Okay. Verse 24 and 25, it says.
Yeah, they must retire. Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. So they priests and they can retire?
At the age of 50.
Well, it is some pastors that retire. But, you know, they wait a long time. I didn't know that. I didn't know you can retire like that. You know, some of them, it'd be way past 50 they retire. I'm telling you, these.
Uh-huh.
You know, we got preachers and pastors that sold and apostles and bishops. They in their 80s, and they still preaching. Because I know Paul Martin and his wife done retired. But I never knew it was in the Bible that it was 50 years of age. I never knew it. And when I was talking to So when I was married to Keith, and we used to go down Pastor Lyle's, where what you call me was down there, Pastor Lyle's church down there on 9th Street, where Pastor Collins is right now. He was so old and had dementia. He would get up there and forget the sense, the scripture and everything. And that's what God don't want us to do, is to make him look bad.
That's right.
That's why we have to retire. Because we represent God. And we have to have a mind enough. Y'all ready for me to retire?
No, you in your right mind.
Yeah. Yeah, your age might be your age, but you definitely look about 35.
Well, no, not like that, but y'all better be getting ready. Y'all getting ready. I ain't going to retire talking about dying, leaving here. I'm going to retire so y'all can take over and get this thing together. Mm-hmm. It'll probably take off, and they probably wait on me to get out the way so it can take off. But yeah, that's something I never knew. The age was 50. I never knew that. And I don't know if that still stick, because you know Peter was an old man when he retired. He was very old in the New Testament. So things are a little different from the Old Testament than the New Testament. It was a little different. And I don't know, that gave me a lot to think about. Give me a lot. God, no, I didn't know it. I read some people, some pastors, you know, they just be getting started at the age of 50 nowadays. I don't know.
Yeah, they just been and got accepted in a church or, you know, called to a church.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
well, they've been just got accepted. They call them. God been in calling when they was 10, and they've been in, you know, had to go through all them years, and then they realize, you know, I'm calling to the pastorate, you know, because it's a time and a place for everything with God. And so Jesus got called at the age of what, 30, and he ain't retired yet. So that's what, you know, he's our shepherd. He hasn't retired yet. But, you know, I have to really pray and understand that even the more, because we need to make sure we're doing the things and the what God has told us to do and not following after what men say do. But I do know Peter was an old man. He had white hair and everything. So I know he was still, I'm not going to say passion, but he hadn't retired from preaching. I didn't think he could retire from preaching. I just didn't think that. That's a good thing. That's a blessed thing. But I'm not going to read none of the notes tonight. I think I read enough of them 87 verses. But that's all right. This been a really good book, because it's really letting us know a lot of things that we didn't know, because I did not know that. And even from Genesis up until now, we didn't learn so much, because, I don't know, I was talking to somebody, and they didn't really know where they, oh, that was that girl that's be on Facebook or TikTok, wherever, Instagram, wherever she from, and a young man was talking about where we come from. Nobody would answer him. These are young people on this page. And Mimi had sent me a thing where this young man was asking people, and he typed in, you know, where we come from. You know, and, you know, they say we come from white people, and I don't believe that. And nobody would answer him. So this girl answered him. And she was trying to tell him where we come from. He didn't really believe it. But we know where we come from, because we found out over in the book of Genesis. These are the things we going to have to give the young people, because they want to know where they come from. They might study some of that stuff, but when you don't have an answer, he talks about them like a dog. You know, he young, so he cussed and everything else. he was young. He wanted to know where they come from. And this girl, I don't know where she come from, but she told him the truth. She told him. She didn't tell him from him, no, I don't think. But she told him we didn't come from white people. And she said, I don't believe Jesus was white. She said, I don't believe it was, I think white people came from us and stuff like that. And she broke it down to him. But you have to really study it. No, you just can't say what you feel and how you think, because that's why the word of God say don't add one word, one jot, or one tittle to God's word. You can't add it. And she said a lot of that stuff in the book of Enoch. I got that book. I didn't see that stuff in there, but I didn't say nothing to Mimi. I didn't say nothing to nobody about it. Because I don't like to dispute or argue over God's word. But if you show it to me in the word of God, then I'll accept it. But if it ain't in there, But this is what I'm saying. That's why we got to know this word. Because these young people, as the years go on, they're going to want to know. They're going to want to know. If you don't know, then get the so-and-so out of my face. He said, all you hypocrites, all you liars that say y'all Christians and you can't tell me where we come from. I was just so embarrassed. I was embarrassed because he really wanted to know. And this is why, you know, I got so many Bible study things to talk about and stuff, but we got to know this word so we can tell them. You can't get up and say you're a prophet or you're a prophetess or you a pastor, preacher, teacher, and you can't tell me nothing. I'm asking you. That's what he was saying, and he cussed. He said, F y'all. Y'all ain't nothing. Y'all some hypocrites.
Well, you know, a lot of people probably, you know, a lot of people probably just get all off into that. And you know, sometimes, you know, when we are witnessing, you know, and that's one of our jobs is to witness, we should know. That's something that we really should know. But sometimes people don't be wanting to argue with these spirits and stuff. They could see them a mile afar.
Yeah, this was a young man. This like a younger generation on this thing. I don't know what Mimi got that from. But this young lady, I don't know who she is. She ain't say she's no prophet, no preacher, no teacher, nothing. She gave him the answer. Yes, she did. She gave him an answer. But some of that stuff come out the book of Enoch. But it needs to come out the Bible. She said the book of Enoch came out the Bible. The Jewish people just didn't accept it. You know, I just don't take people words and stuff. You have to study for yourself. And that's what I was telling Mimi. It's all right to listen to them because you're older than they are. I said, but don't get in no argument with them. If you don't know it, you go and just look it up and study it yourself. Don't argue and don't believe everything they're saying, because the Antichrist is coming. And they just going to fool. He said, we're going to be able to fool the very elect. Don't listen to a lot of that stuff. And, you know, but I listened to that. Me and Dad both, some stuff was true and some of it wasn't. And that's what Mimi said. I just take the truth away from it and the rest of it, I let it go. But you know, I just feel like we shouldn't. I don't know. I just don't know. But we have to be really careful because, you know, these young people are going to be the seed that's going to come up and going to teach our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. And we need to be teaching them what's going on in the stuff like that. We need to teach them this word. So when somebody like that come up and they'll say, hey, I didn't read that in the Bible. Can you show me that in the Bible? That's what they'll have to say. Can you show me where it is in the Bible? And then that's what attracts them. Because I used to have to do that. Anybody got any questions or any comments from these chapters? From the book of the Leviticus? It's a good.
The Levites, you know, they were something special to God. I can remember when my husband used to set up the church, and he used to have to handle a lot of the furniture and stuff in the church. And the pastor called him a Levite. Just said, you know, you a Levite, you know, and we really didn't understand it when he said it, but you know, it's a blessing. The Levites were just blessed because they handled God's holy things in the tabernacle and the tent, you know, and it was just such a blessing to be a Levite. God really, really, really loved the Levites so much till he traded them out, you know, for the Israelites, you know, and it's just a blessing to work for God. You know, you might think it's hard, all, you know, I got to do this and this is my responsibility, I got to do that, but it's a blessing, you know, to be a soldier and to work for God. You know, only what we do for Christ will last, and that's what that's what's happening with the Levites. You know, it lasted with God. God say, well, you know, I got them set apart for myself, you know, and it's just it's a blessing to be set apart and to be called God's own, you know, and to be found doing what he called us to do.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Ben. You know, he was a Levite before he got to a Reverend Lee, because he was at, was a True Word, and he did the same thing.
Yes.
He worked in the church. He came to church, all that. So it's calling it a priest, you know, working for the Lord. It's a blessing. And all of us did. We all, at that time, especially when True Word was, we always worked for the Lord. And even when y'all was down to Mount Saran, y'all was in there, you know, and it was a blessing. I don't care about the pastor and all that kind of stuff. You did what God called you to do, and God looks at that. I'm telling you, he smiles on that. That's a blessing, you know, to even accept our calling. And a lot of people on stuff say they get old, but we worked while we were young. You all did too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We worked in our young age, so, and then you brought the children up in church. Now they bringing their children up in the word of the Lord. It's just a generational thing, I think. And I just thank and praise God for that. You know, it's such a blessing. I'm honored by it, just to have my children and grandchildren sitting up under me and learning from me, and that I could teach them, even though I teach other people and try to just show people my life and how I live and how I want them to just grab a hold and live their life like that. It's such a blessing, and I don't take it for granted from God, because, you know, my mother showed me what she could. When my daddy started going to church, he showed me what he could. And I really appreciate God for allowing me to have those special moments and special times with them. My mother always took us to Sunday school. She always took us to church. As far as I can remember, she did. So it's such a blessing to even go there, you know. And I thank and praise God. Some people like Apostle Deans, his mother and father, never knew about God, but he got, 19 or 30 or something. His mother and dad never spoke on it. And he never knew who he was. He didn't know who Jesus was. So, you know, we blessed. You know, it's in our family, we blessed. So I thank and praise God for that. Any more questions or anything? I thank and praise God for this opportunity. I'm not going to stay on long because I got to be at work at a while, but not yet, in about an hour. But I went to a chiropractor today, and he's a holistic doctor. And I think I told y'all about every time I look down how my neck and stuff hurt and pop. He said it's 7 bones in your neck. He said 5 of my bones was out of alignment. 5 of them. He got a bone mover. He put it on my neck today and moved those bones back in place. And I feel better. He just told me, you know, I have to put ice on him because I'm going to be sore. He did a lot of other stuff. I'm telling you, this man, I'm too big and dead to go, because this man, he did something. I have never had that experience where he said he had me to lay my head in his hand, and he had his hands a certain way. He said he was rebooting my brain. He said, your brain is rebooting when I got ready to leave there. I said, what you mean by that? He said, things going to get clearer to you. So he rebooted my brain because it was, guess, out of line, and I don't know. But it was worth me going. It really was. So I thank and praise God for that. Just lead me to who
wow.
I needed to go to. Yeah, I stayed in there 1 hour. He did some stuff. He did. He said my hip bone, because I know Dad could touch a place on my hip, and it would be so sore, like he would be sticking a knife in it. I said, what is that? How can you go and find my hurt place? And that man said I was getting bursitis in my hip, both of them, and they had fever in them. So now he told me for 2 or 3 days to sit with an ice pack down there. He didn't take not one x-ray. I'm going to tell you what he did. He went up in my mouth. He put a glove on to my jawbone. He put my jawbone back in line on both sides of my face. Do you hear me? This man was somebody I never met. Can't say white, can't say black. His hair was snow white. He stuck his finger
Ooh.
Up in my jawbone, and he pushed whatever them bones was back up, and it felt like razor blades.
Wow.
On each side of my face. Mm-hmm. He did some work on me today, and I was thankful. I stayed in there on that bed with that, where you put your face in the bed for about an hour, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so
I know sometimes you could hold your head down so much, you know, reading or praying or whatever you're doing. And I would take a scarf or something and put on the back of my neck and just pull it and push my head back and pull the scarf. And that like really helps like headaches and a lot of different other stuff, but it probably got something to do with those bones back there. But, you know, it just comes from holding your head down so much.
Well, that's what he told me. He said, for right now, for another week or two, try to read up. Stop looking down. He told me to sit up in a straight posture. He said, if you're sitting on a couch or something, he said, sit in a chair with a hard back to it so you can sit up straight. And he told me, don't sit down for over half an hour. Get up and move around. I thought it was 2 hours. He told me a half hour. Get up and move around for a few minutes and sit back down. Mm-hmm. And he did a lot more stuff. He touched stuff in my arm that had my back popping.
Oh.
Stuff like that. I'm assuming his information. He gave me a packet. So I'm going to let Dad see it. But he did a lot. I held my leg up. He put some kind of girl. When I tell you I feel better across my back ain't hurting, he said it's going to go all the way down to leave here with no pain, none. I was like, thank you, Jesus, because my back had started hurting. I didn't know what it was from. But he said the way you sit, you can't slouch. You got to sit straight. You can't slouch.
Mm-hmm.
You need to sit. So, anyway, it was a blessing for me today. I just thank and praise God for that. But I'm going to get ready to get off of here because I got to get on out of here. But by the grace of God, well, we don't have none anymore. But after, I'm going to wait till about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I'm going to go on the Facebook Live and pray. I ain't gonna rush home like I thought I was and pray. I'm just going because God know what he's doing, because the last time I did that, I had 50 people on that. You know, last time I prayed late, it was 50 people on there. So God know what he wants to do. And see, I'm working overnight now. I think it's better. I don't have to wrestle with Charles. He'd be ready to go to sleep when I get there. And I just be there all night, you know, and come home. And I have to work Saturday day, which I don't like. but that's the only day I have to work. I don't have to work on Sundays no more. I have to work Sunday night overnight. That's it. But as far as my time with my ministry is preaching, I don't have to do that. I can preach at home now. So I thank and praise God for that. So anyway, we're going to get ready to close our Father in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for this opportunity to study your word, God. We just give you praise on tonight. Lord, I ask you to cover each and every one of them in the shed blood of Jesus and their families. Build a hedge of protection around them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, give them more wisdom and knowledge that only you could give them on tonight, God. Thank you for this word. We thank you for ministering to us, God. We thank you for giving us an understanding about some Levites, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for having Levites in our family, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We just give you glory. We give you praise. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord maketh his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you all. I love you. Go in peace. I will see you and talk to you tomorrow later on. Love y'all. Have a good night.
Love you. Have a good night.
Love you too. All right. Love you all too.
God bless. Love you.
God bless, baby. Love you too.